All right. As I said, breathing in. Oh, releasing out that life breath. Being present. Feeling the tips of your fingers. Where are your feet? How are they planted onto the floor? Where is your mind right now? Thoughts are racing. Ah, but what is the breath and the heartbeat that gives to every one of us all the time, 24/7, this beautiful heart beats. 70 beats a minute, some a little faster, some a little slower. But it is our faithful, faithful servant that keeps this body a living presence that walks and talks and feels and moves our spirit for God. Living spirit in connection with the heart. How present are you of your heartbeat? How present are we in our moments? Do we take it for granted, this beautiful muscle that moves the vital blood for our body? Take time now. I'm going to go into some silence with the music taking you into a presence of your heartbeat. Bring your hand to your heart, or just bring your consciousness, your mind to your heart for just a couple of minutes. The Beloved gave us this heart that reflects our emotions. The first blush of being in love, how the heart would quicken and go faster when you saw the one that you were so in love with and are so in love with. First time seeing a new baby. Also, it quickens when it says, not safe, not safe. It also quickens an excitement at life. It quickens when you see something beautiful. It quickens when you are connected with God. This constant heartbeat. Emotional brain connected. The first that came into being when we were being created within our mother's womb. As we close, let's thank our hearts. Thank our hearts for always being the loyal servant. While we are on this plane and in body, until we expand into the fullness of the heart of God. Thank you, my heart. Thank you, my body. Thank you, God, for this wondrous, wondrous being that I am. Amen.
All right. Good morning. How are you, God? All right. Well, today the title of my message today is The Heart of Everyday Life. I've been being greatly influenced by the book Living with Uncertainty by Pima Chodron. And this was just perfect. It's just timely because we have times throughout our lives that we live with uncertainty. And it's a challenge because we want to know. There's a part of our mind, our sweet little humanness wants to know that everything is going to be okay. It wants to know that it's going to be sunshine and roses. It wants to know that if I make this plan, it's going to follow through. It wants to know. It wants to know because that's that humanness. It's the body wanting to say, it's the human animal inside that's wanting to say, I want to know that I'm going to be warm, that I'm going to be fed, that I'm going to be dry. You know, and that also, and that I'm going to have love. We all want the same things. We all want to be loved. We all want to be warm. We want to be fed. We want to have just this a fullness of life and not have to worry, not have to have any kind of concerns, because those things are struggles. Because as, you know, as we were coming up into human existence, that was survival. You had to be concerned about that. And it's still that way. It's still that way for many people that have lost a way of living and they're struggling. And we see them in our brothers and sisters that and children that are walking the streets and are homeless. So what do we do about this uncertainty of everyday life? Pima talks about, you know, this Buddhism talks about we're wanting to go into an awakened state. We want to come into enlightenment, which is bodhicitta, which means it's a spontaneous wish to attain enlightenment motivated by great compassion for all sentient beings, accompanied by a falling away of the attachment to the illusion of an inherently existence of self. And I think, you know, we say that that's supposed to be a master, that's supposed to be we put somebody up on a pedestal that has attained enlightenment. Or we do also know about avatar saints that have taken body, that are bodhisattvas and have taken body, and they are a living master. And so, but what about us? And then we'd call ourselves ordinary people. But I think that's what the saints, the bodhisattvas, the gurus, that's what they're all telling us, is that it is not out of our reach. Enlightenment is a moment-to-moment experience. Have you not grown from the time you were 16? Just wait. It's going to be really amazing by the time you're our age. You're going to look back and go, wow. Have we not grown from the time you were 30? What about since last year? What occurred in your life to bring you to that place of enlightenment? And the other thing is if you got instantaneous enlightenment, do you think you could handle it? Because you would feel everyone on this planet. You would feel the planet. You would feel the universe. You would feel every heartbeat on this planet. You would feel all the emotions, what's going on. It's like I look at Amma, who is an avatar that was taken into body. And this woman knows that a cantaloupe was thrown away into the trash after one of her large gatherings in India. She stopped the bus, had the bus stop, because everybody was leaving. She had stopped the bus, and she went back to the food tent that was closing down. And she went to a trash can and dug down into the bottom of a trash can and brought up this whole cantaloupe. She said, do you know how many, you know, a family could four? This could feed a family of four. Don't waste food. That. Okay. Could we handle it if we got instantaneous enlightenment? And the thing is if anybody knows Amma's story, she went through a great deal of she went through a great deal of abuse. She was not accepted by her family, by her mother and her father. Her own brother tried to kill her because of what she was doing. So there we have it. Enlightenment within that duality of having uncertainty and challenge to make us stretch, make us grow, make us discover what's a little more inside there. Pema says, the Buddha says that we are never separated from enlightenment. Even at times when we feel most stuck, we are never alienated from the awakened state. This is a revolutionary assertion. Even ordinary people like us with hang-ups and confusion have this mind of enlightenment called bodhicitta. An analogy for bodhicitta is the rawness of a broken heart. Would we know, I mean, and that's the thing about coming into this incarnation in this experience that is duality of night and day. We have the good and the bad and everything in between. This duality is what we signed up for that said, let me grow. Because would we know any different if we had everything the way we really desired it to be, if we didn't want to have sadness, tears, anger, crying, you know, and we really put anger down. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, anger is not something that you need to hurt people. And yes, we do need anger management classes, absolutely. But anger, all of our emotions have been given to us for a reason. Awakening us. Have they been given to us to awaken us? So would we know the difference if we did not live in this state of duality? Would we know that we got it made? Would we know that we're enlightened? Would we know that it's incredible that we are living this life of a spiritual being that can manifest something at literally the drop of a thought? How many of you have had a thought about, I really want something, I really would like to have this, I need to have this, and then within a day or two or a week, it showed up? Or within 4 to 6 weeks, or at some time it showed up, and it was that little marker from God saying, I'm listening. I'm a part of you. You helped create this. The challenge is when we're in that state of true challenge. I mean, when we are being really dragged through life on glass, it feels like, you know, you're just kind of being dragged along the road and there's glass and there's gravel and it's like, come on, God, I just can't take anymore. Where do we go to find the bodhicitta, that enlightenment that's within us? Oh, how do you find it when you are in a state that has you really just, you know, you're on your knees with the uncertainty of life? So as the meditation that came today, when I do a meditation, I don't have something written. It just comes. So the meditation today that came was, is about this incredible heart that we've been given. This is the thing that when in embryo, we are actually, the heart starts and then it's the tongue. It's what develops. And this beautiful heart is what keeps us going through every moment of uncertainty that we have. We are deeply challenged at this period of time, it's so much is progressing in our experience of our world. We've got our technology has just shot us into this space of, wow, there's all these people, there's, you know, 7 billion people on the planet, and it's brought us all very together that we're not that big, we're very small on this little planet. And we're getting to see other hearts and other hearts and other cultures, other ways of thinking, other ways of being, other ways. And it's bringing us together heart to heart, heart to heart. And at the same time, it's also causing anxiety because we're progressing so fast, so fast. Can the mind and the heart and the being keep up with something that is changing just as quickly as you get an iPhone and you're so happy with it? Well, you know what? Next month they're bringing out a new one. I got to have that one. Or, you know, and in gaming, I mean, my daughter-in-law is in the gaming world through Microsoft, and the gaming world, it's just everything is so fast. Have we as a human entity been able to keep in catching up? So, right, so I'm going really broad here about the fact that we have, you know, our creation of our world as we know it has it created more anxiety? Does it create more tension? Does it create more about money, about a job, about survival, about everything? And it's like, what's getting plugged at us every day, every day? And some of us really know it's like Big Brother is here. 1984 is happening. So there's all of that that's in a part of this dwelling, that's in our inconsistently in our presence of our mind and in our face. So what about this enlightened? What about this bodhicitta? Where does what she's talking about of finding the heart of everyday life? But she says about that rawness of a broken heart, she says, this is our link with all those who have ever loved. This genuine heart of sadness can teach us great compassion. It can humble us when we're arrogant and soften us when we are unkind. It awakens us when we prefer to sleep and pierces through our indifference. This continual ache of the heart broken open is a blessing that when fully accepted can be shared with all. Because as she talks about in her book, all of this is when you're experiencing this, so is somebody else. When we can take what's going on in our life and we stop, connect with our heart, connect with that heartbeat, somebody else is feeling the same way. Somebody else is feeling the challenge. Somebody else is in having uncertainty. But somebody else is also having incredible joy. Somebody else is having that heart just quicken with love. There can be, I mean, the heart can quicken with love when you see something that's just so beautiful. Or you hear somebody's voice over the phone. This journey of enlightenment is a lifetime. And we can choose it moment to moment because it's coming into that presence of consciousness of, I am being so challenged right now. I don't know what's going to happen or what I'm going to do. That the presence of mind comes to stop, breathe, connect with the heart, and find something that brings the heart into that place of love. Brings the heart into that place of there's beauty all around me. There's place in the heart. It's like going, my life has really been good. And I have to tell my life has been messy. At this point in my life, it's like, I mean, I've... My ministry is changing. My work is changing. Because it took me going through an an awful lot of messy life, of a pattern, of my own pattern. We all are born and we're going through this thing and we all have a pattern to awaken us. And when we finally awaken, we say, I don't have to do that anymore. That choice. I don't have to do that anymore. But all of those things are a part of this moment-to-moment spontaneous wish for enlightenment, to attain enlightenment, the bodhicitta. She says, the openness and warmth of bodhicitta is, in fact, our true nature and condition. I like this part. Even when our neurosis, even our neuroses feel far more basic than our wisdom, even when we're feeling most confused and hopeless, bodhicitta, like the open sky, is always here, undiminished by the clouds that temporarily cover it. It's available in moments of caring for things, when we clean our glasses or brush our hair. It's available in moments of appreciation, when we notice the blue sky or pause and listen to the rain. It's available in moments of gratitude, when we recall a kindness or recognize another person's courage. It's available in the music and dance, in art and in poetry. Which brings me to some incredibly talented people that you hold right here in the church with Kevin and Savannah and their music. Savannah's an incredible. Her heart is in that, her words and her music, and her heart is in their CD, Waking Maya. And I love all the songs on that CD. And the one piece, though, that just is incredible, a line that she wrote is, and I've just had to bring this in with this, us looking at the heart of everyday life, is she says, you can't hold on to flowing water. You can't hold on to broken promises. You can't hold on to those who hurt you the most, but you can hold on to me. Wow. To me, how those words spoke to me. I love that. You can't hold on to flowing water. You can't hold on to broken promises. You can't hold on to those that hurt you the most, but you can hold on to me. That can be interpreted in many ways, but who is the me? And for me, was myself, my connection with spirit, God, all that is, that is my safe space. That is the pool of love that I can dive into no matter what is going on into my world. In that moment, I can choose to deepen into the pool of God. And as Pema states, going into that bodhicitta that's within, that enlightenment that can shift everything in a moment. I encourage you to go find her book, Living with Uncertainty. And I've been doing a chapter a day as a daily practice. And if you don't go, and if there's not that, there's another form, there's another way for you to connect with this beautiful heart, with that heartbeat, that love-dub, love-dub, love-dub. And as the meditation was coming to me, when I was saying, you know, when your heart quickens, when you see that one that you love, and I saw Thumper in Bambi when he was in love. Oh, my goodness. What was Thumper? What was his word? He was Twitter-pated. That's right. He was Twitter-pated. He was so cute. He's Twitter-pated. So what can you get Twitter-pated about? About your life. Because I've had a life reflection recently, and it's like, okay, it's been messy. And then at the same time, I've also looked at it and said, my God, thank you for this messy life. Thank you, God, for this messy life. There's so many things I would not have experienced good things. It's like, but so many good things I would not have experienced. Thank you, God, for this amazing life. And it's mine. And fall in love with yourself. Fall in love with that connection with God. Find what Twitter paints you in the heart and make that heart, you know, find your heart in everyday life. Because it's all up to us. Every time, it's really all up to us. And it's also okay when you forget. It's also okay to have days when it's just meh. But it always turns around, doesn't it? It always turns around. So find what gets you Twitter-pated. Think about Thumper. Because that can be a touchstone to get you to that amazing place with God. And you are enlightened every day a little more and a little more and a little more. Because you wouldn't be here if you were not incredibly, deeply loving, compassionate people. And I'm very grateful for every single one of you. Thank you. Namaste.